Sun and Fun plays head in sand about Florida's tax trap. United has found no calibration problems with its 747s maintained in Korea. And we have our first airline bankruptcy of 2008. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, March 24th, 2008. The recent decision by the state of Florida to treat visiting general aviation aircraft owners as taxable low-hanging fruit has resulted in surprise bills, some of them large enough to buy a new light sport aircraft, for people who don't live, work, or even buy their planes in Florida. One owner of a new Piper Meridian turboprop came to Florida for training within a few weeks of buying his new plane. He came home to a tax bill of $125,000, which he told ANN he'd have to pay now and fight later to avoid rapidly mounting penalties and interest. The Florida Department of Revenue is reportedly conducting ramp checks to look for out-of-state N numbers at Florida airports, which could have an obvious impact on attendance at any Florida aviation event relying on out-of-state visitors. So, if you're in charge of the upcoming Sun and Fun event in Lakeland, already suffering from declining attendance, and busted recently by your local newspaper for inflating the attendance you do have, what are you going to do now about the Florida tax trap? Well, ANN has received word that a memo from Sun and Fun President John Burton was emailed Friday to a list of unknown size, denying the existence of the tax. Quote, "It does not impact aircraft owners who have purchased an airplane within the past 6 months and have it titled, registered, or licensed in another state," unquote. Now, this has to be the product of one of two things, either alarming ignorance or something less forgivable. If you're planning to fly to Florida, here's what you need to know. Our readers and listeners have actually fallen victim to this tax, which amounts to 6% of the purchase cost of your aircraft, less whatever sales tax you paid in your home state. If your plane is older than 6 months, or you did already pay at least 6% sales tax in your home state, be ready to document it. Check this story out yourself with the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. President Phil Boyer has written a letter to Florida Governor Charlie Crist asking for a moratorium on the tax to allow time for lawmakers to strike it. Ask Michael Slingluff, president of the Florida Aviation Trades Association. His members are losing business over this issue. Michael, after reviewing Burton's memo, called it inaccurate and confirmed, quote, "The press coverage by ANN and AOPA has been truthful and accurate," unquote. Or play it safe. Come by airline. Whatever you do, don't just stay home because your impact could be huge. Consider this. According to a report in last week's Lakeland Ledger, reporter Rick Roussis examined Sun and Fun's tax and internal records from the year 2001. That year, about 87,000 people bought tickets to the event, but the official estimated attendance was 645,000. Now, a little quick math would suggest that every person who bought a ticket that year represented about 7 people in the attendance reported to sponsors, advertisers, and the media. I'll bet you never even saw those other 6 people follow you through the turnstile. On Friday, the Federal Aviation Administration clarified a Wall Street Journal report that the agency had forced United Airlines to ground 7 of its Boeing 747s due to possible avionics calibration errors. Agency spokesman Ian Greger told the Associated Press the FAA did not order the checks, but that United pulled the planes from service on its own. United said Friday it had found no errors with altitude reporting equipment on 7 planes that recently underwent maintenance at a facility in South Korea. FAA inspectors had found calibration equipment there out of spec, leading to a concern the avionics could give pilots inaccurate readings. Aloha Air Group, Incorporated, has filed the first airline bankruptcy of 2008. The operator of Aloha Airlines announced late Thursday night it filed a voluntary petition for protection under Chapter 11 of the U.S. Bankruptcy Code. Aloha is seeking the court's approval of a new financing arrangement with its principal working capital lender, GMAC, and permission to continue operating in the meantime. Aloha is trying to protect 3,500 jobs, hold on to passenger travel reservations, keep its U.S. mail and air cargo contracts, and continue to provide ground handling services for domestic and international airlines serving Hawaii. In its filing, Aloha blames its inability to generate sufficient revenues on predatory and illegal pricing by Mesa Air Group's Go Airline. Aloha says it has been forced to charge passengers below-cost fares at the same time fuel costs have been skyrocketing. A North Carolina pilot was lost Thursday in a possible stall spin accident near Weddington. The Wilmington Star News reports the Cirrus SR-22 GTS piloted by 51-year-old Wesley Ward Manning Jr., was in the pattern at Arrow Plantation Airport and on approach to land when the accident happened about 4:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Witnesses said the plane's left wing dropped sharply, possibly while turning base, followed by an impact in wooded terrain in a nose-down attitude. Manning had flown in 150 miles from Pilots Ridge Airstrip. The FAA, NTSB, and Cirrus all said they were sending investigators. Up next on ANN, Boeing faces a lawsuit over the in-flight breakup of an F-15. The initials EAA disappear from the name of the Arlington fly-in. And NASA says an August shuttle launch already faces a delay. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 24th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The Missouri Air National Guard pilot who was severely injured when his F-15C broke apart in flight back in November has sued Boeing, claiming the company should have known that the aging aircraft was defective and unreasonably dangerous. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports 37-year-old Major Stephen Stillwell was at the controls of the fighter that broke apart at 18,000 feet over south-central Missouri. He was able to eject, but suffered injuries to his left arm and shoulder, which required surgical repair using a 10-inch metal plate. Stillwell says he continues to suffer from chronic pain. He's a pilot for Southwest Airlines. Boeing took over McDonnell Douglas, the original manufacturer of the affected F-15s, in 1997. The Air Force is now deliberating whether Boeing can be held responsible for alleged construction defects blamed for grounding many older F-15s. In keeping with its new policy to avoid implied sponsorship of regional fly-ins, the Experimental Aircraft Association announced last week it has signed a new working agreement with the organizers of what used to be officially called the Northwest EAA Fly-In. The new agreement drops the initials EAA from the newly named Arlington Fly-In, but EAA will continue to provide extensive promotion and coverage of the event and serve as a major sponsor of forums and workshops, among other considerations. EAA's shift in policy was announced back in December and resulted from a $10.5 million judgment against EAA, a lawsuit regarding an RV-6 departure stall crash at Arlington in 1999. The plaintiffs were successful despite official findings of pilot error and a relationship in which EAA did not and never had played a role in running the event. Regionals now have to find their own insurance rather than be covered under EAA's plan, as was the case in the past. Despite the resulting higher costs to event organizers, Arlington Fly-In Executive Director Barbara Tolbert says the new arrangement may be better for her event. Quote, "This agreement offers the Arlington Fly-In a new, higher level of support from EAA in areas that reflect our mutual goals and gives each of our organizations the direction to make this event even better for those who have a passion for flight." Unquote. NASA's contingency plan for an upcoming mission to service the Hubble Space Telescope may be in jeopardy due to production issues with the modified external fuel tanks to be used on remaining shuttle missions. According to a CBS News report, the next mission to the International Space Station, on board Discovery, remains on track for a late May liftoff. That will be the first launch to utilize an external tank with modifications intended to reduce the risks of catastrophic damage to the shuttle from chunks of insulating foam. NASA says manufacturing issues with the redesigned tank at Lockheed Martin mean the first one will probably be ready for the Hubble mission on board Atlantis on August 28th. However, the agency wants Endeavour ready as a backup, and a tank for that mission is doubtful by that date. NASA takes extra precautions during Hubble missions. If a shuttle fails in orbit and cannot return its crew safely to Earth from a mission at the International Space Station, the crew has a place to stay until new plans can be made. But if it fails at the Hubble telescope, an immediate rescue mission would have to be sent. NASA says a new heat shield tile repair method tested during a spacewalk by astronauts from the shuttle Endeavour last week has produced promising early results. Mission specialists Michael Foreman and Robert Behnken tested the new procedure on Thursday. During a 6.5-hour excursion, the men used a high-tech device similar to a caulking gun to insert ablative putty into cracks on a sample tile, then used a brush to smooth the material out. The Associated Press reports the goo later solidifies into a plastic-like material, which NASA hopes will withstand re-entry heat. Endeavour is scheduled to undock from the station today and return to Earth Wednesday evening. Still ahead, ESTEC earns a TSO for IntelliFlight 1950. A prestigious aerospace scholarship goes to a guy who's going to really need it. And it's tough being an airline customer in Gary, Indiana. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 24th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. ESTEC announced on Thursday it has received FAA Technical Standard Order authorization for its new IntelliFlight 1950 digital flight control system to be incorporated as a standard feature on the SmartDeck integrated flight controls and display system from L3 Communications. Greg Plants, ESTEC's Vice President of Sales and Marketing, says it's the company's first digital flight control system to have its computer fully integrated into the avionics suite. Larry Riddle, Vice President of Business Development for L3, touts the system's reduction of pilot workload. Quote, "You can literally fly a full instrument approach all the way through the missed approach and hold using this autopilot with SmartDeck. It's an integral part of making SmartDeck a versatile system that will be used on a range of aircraft from piston singles to VLJs," unquote. SmartDeck was introduced last September at NBAA 2007 and can integrate collision avoidance, terrain awareness, storm scope lightning detection, and infrared imaging. Adrian Akerson is a senior with a double major in space physics and aerospace engineering at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. He was recently awarded the prestigious Dr. Robert H. Goddard Memorial Scholarship. It's given annually in honor of America's rocket pioneer. A $10,000 grant and a plaque were presented to Akerson by the Board of Governors of the National Space Club at the 51st Annual Goddard Memorial Dinner on March 7th in Washington, D.C., where Neil Armstrong was a guest speaker and other dignitaries included NASA Administrator Michael Griffin. Dr. Daryl Smith, Embry-Riddle Physics Chair, noted that Akerson got their attention. Quote, "They took the opportunity to talk with Adrian and congratulate him on his award. Although other awards were presented at the dinner, Adrian's award was the most prestigious," unquote. After completing his bachelor programs, the 23-year-old from Prescott Valley, Arizona, plans to specialize in the development of exotic propulsion and energy technologies as a graduate student, pursuing a master's degree in astronautics and a doctorate in physics. Sounds like he's going to be able to use all the scholarships he can get. For city leaders in the Indiana industrial city of Gary, it might be hard not to feel at least a little slighted. Less than a week after Skybus Airlines launched its heavily promoted twice-daily service at Gary-Chicago International Airport, the ultra-low-cost carrier announced it will cut that service in half next month. SkyBus spokesman Bob Tenenbaum told the Northwest Indiana Post-Tribune, the cutback is due to record fuel costs. Quote, it doesn't reflect in any way on the commitment to Gary. We do recognize that's been an issue. That's not the case here, unquote. In the shadows of Chicago O'Hare and Midway, Gary has struggled to maintain scheduled airline service. Before SkyBus, the airport relied on Hooters Air, which folded its wings in 2006. Get it? Hooters? Wings? Anyway, effective April 15th, SkyBus will be flying just one daily flight between Gary and Piedmont Triad International Airport near Greensboro, North Carolina, departing Gary in the late afternoon. Tenenbaum hopes, quote, if you can fly one flight a day and fill it up all the time, you're much better off than flying two flights a day, unquote. And finally, the next time you go to buy a new car or airplane, you might want to take a negotiator from Kaman Corporation with you. The U.S. helicopter manufacturer had a deal to provide the Australian government with 11 Sea Sprite helicopters. Nine were delivered, years late, in 2002. Then, Australia alleged flight testing turned up safety concerns, and the Navy grounded its Sea Sprites in April of 2006. Incoming Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd decided he wanted out of the deal, and Kaman replied with whatever is the aerospace equivalent of, wait here while I talk to my manager. Long story short, Kaman gets the delivered helicopters back and will resell them, and gets to keep most of the $600 million already paid by the Australian government. If you'd like one, Kaman will be selling off the Sea Sprites, with Australia and Kaman splitting the profits. But if you go in to kick the tires, better make sure to take Dad with you. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. As is our way on Mondays, my guest today is CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. We'll talk about one of the few circumstances in which Bob really likes general aviation simulators. Also, Bob explains the surprising new association between his Part 61 flight school and a college aviation program. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.